Blessed are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Blessed are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit.
When I did not declare my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long.
Day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My skin was dried up as by the heat of summer.
I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity.
I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Then you forgave the guilt of my sin.
Hi, you all look beautiful today. I'm so glad you're here.
I need some room.
Get right there. Okay. I brought my Bible this morning. It looks kind of beat up, doesn't it? Do you have a Bible?
Yeah, mine's at home.
Do you have a Bible? That's good. If you don't have one, you will someday. I got mine when I was 9 years old. And it's gone with me through my school, through my marriage, moving several times up to now. What do you think about when you hear God? The Bible is God's word. We can think about Jesus, who's God's son. What do you think about when you hear the name Jesus? Excuse me. Can you share with me what you think about when you hear the name Jesus? Does it make you smile?
Yeah.
Does it make you happy?
Yes.
When I hear the word Jesus, I think about his grace for us, his love for us, his kindness to us, and his forgiveness to us. We can show the love that Jesus has for us by showing love, kindness, forgiveness, and helping other people. And we're going to help the children of Romania this month. We will be collecting shoes and socks over the next several weeks to give to them. We need to mail them out in this collection of our Make a Joyful Noise cans and jars will help with the shipping costs. If the congregation will pass the cans and jars to the inside aisle, our children will be then able to collect them and bring them forward for Pastor Zach to bless. Are all the jars and cans on the inside of the aisle? You want to go collect the cans and jars for me? The congregation will show them to you. You can go fast. There should be six of them. When you get your jar and can, bring them up front. Good job. One, two, three, four, five. Okay. Thank you, Brighton. That was nice. Can somebody count? Do we have six?
One, two, three,
four,
five,
six. Yes, Pastor, we have our jars and cans.
Awesome. All right. You guys ready for an echo prayer? God, thank you for your love for us.
I need to move.
God, thank you for your love for us.
Help us to be generous and to share the love of Jesus through these socks and shoes.
Through these socks and shoes.
For the children and adults in Romania. Whom you love.
Who you love.
And we love you, Lord.
And we love you, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Great job, guys. Summer sermon series, going through the book of Romans. And we've been hearing such good news. It's been such a wonderful time in the scriptures this summer. And last week, we heard from Romans 5, 1 to 21, where We learned about God's peace and his hope and his love and his grace in Christ for us. We learned about how suffering leads to endurance, and endurance leads to character, and character leads to hope, and hope does not disappoint. Why? Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the gift of the Holy Spirit. We also learned that while sin came through Adam, the sinful nature came all the way down in our story through Adam, down to us, where we couldn't save ourselves, despite having God's law, despite having the best of intentions and wanting to do good, we continued to do evil, and it continued to cause harm to our relationships and separate us from God and separate us from one another. But where sin reigned in Adam to death, grace, the free gift of God's love, God's yes to you and I and to everyone, even before we say yes to him, his grace came to rule and reign over us and in our lives through Jesus Christ. So that's the good news we heard last week. And now we're gonna kind of recap last week and then into this week's lesson in this Bible Project video on Romans.
Paul's letter to the Romans. Check out the first video where we explored who Paul was, why he wrote this letter, and where we trace the core ideas of chapters 1 through 4. That all humanity is hopelessly trapped in sin and needs to be rescued. That this rescue is not going to happen by people trying to obey the laws of the Torah. Rather, God's righteous character has moved him to rescue the world through Jesus' death and resurrection so that he could create a faith-based multi-ethnic family of Abraham as his people. Now, in the remaining three movements of the letter to the Romans, Paul is going to develop these ideas even more. So remember, Paul's exploration of justification by faith, that when people trust Jesus' death and resurrection was for them, they're given a new status, they're right with God, they're placed in a new family, the covenant people of Abraham, and they're given a new future, the hope of a transformed life. Now Paul wants to show how this reality should reshape every part of our existence, because being in this family means being a part of a new humanity that God is creating through Jesus and the Spirit. So Paul goes back to the first human character of the biblical story, Adam. His name means humanity. And Adam, like all humanity after him, has chosen sin and selfishness. And so everyone faces God's judgment because we've become slaves to sin's influence, resulting in death. But then Paul contrasts Adam with Jesus, who he says is the new Adam, a human who lived in faithful obedience to God, shown through his act of sacrificial love. And now Jesus offers his life as a gift to others so that they can be justified before God. And so Jesus stands as the head of a new humanity that is being transformed by this gift, which leads him to chapter 6. Paul reminds these Christians in Rome that choosing to follow Jesus means leaving their old Adam-like humanity and entering into the new Jesus-like humanity. And their baptism was a sacred symbol of that transition. Their old humanity died with Jesus, and their new humanity was raised with him from the dead. So when a person trusts in Jesus, their life becomes joined to his life. What's true of him is now true of them. It's when people accept their identity as Jesus-like humans that they are liberated to become the wholehearted humans who can truly love God and their neighbor.
So let's hear God's word to us from Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 6. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. What's up? God, we pray for Miriam right now, Lord. We ask, come Holy Spirit. We pray that you'd be with her, that you would sustain her, that you would the ambulance would get here quickly, Lord. I'm in shock, Lord. We just pray for Miriam. We know that you love her. And we pray for her healing in Jesus' name. We pray for her family, Lord, as they get notified about this, that you would be with them as well, Lord. in any way that we can just continue to remember her and pray for her constantly today. Jesus, we need you right now in this moment. Amen. Okay. Okay, so Dave's back there, and the ambulance is coming. What? I'm sorry? Ambulance is here? Okay. I've never had this happen before in a worship service. Have you guys ever had this happen before in church? Okay. I'm sorry I didn't know. Okay. All right. Well, let's get back to Romans. And in the meantime, please, as soon as you go home, let's start the prayer chain and be praying for Miriam and also for her mom, Rosie, because she's had a hard week this week, too. Okay. Romans chapter 6, verse 5. For if we've been united in a death like his, we will be certainly united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we've died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, don't let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion, no rule over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. He goes on to say, what then? Should we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having been once slaves to sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you've been entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. Sanctification is how God makes us holy through his love and his Holy Spirit in us. It makes us like Christ. It's the life transformation that we're talking about. When you were slaves to sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you get from the things of which you're now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you've been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's say that together. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Last week we heard the good news that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That proves God's love for us. That even at our worst, when we couldn't save ourselves, when we had lost all hope, and we were just making things worse and worse and worse as humanity, God sent Jesus to come and save us. That Jesus did what we couldn't. He was obedient. He didn't sin. He was faithful. He showed love to everyone. He showed his righteousness, even with anger and injustice. He was good news for the poor. And he laid down his life for us so that we could not just die, but that we could live with him in his resurrection. And Miriam, in her heart of hearts, she's given her life to Jesus. So no matter what happens to her, we pray that she'll pull through and the doctors will be able to help her. But she knows that she is in Jesus' hands. She trusts God. And those of us that know Miriam know that she trusts God and that she lives for Jesus, that she's experiencing that ongoing life transformation where God has changed her life. And even when things aren't easy, even when it's painful to trust God because of the suffering that we experience or people that disappoint us or the things that don't work out, she still trusts God because she said today in Sunday school that she knows that it's more painful to not trust God and to miss out than to trust God through the pain. So as we continue to pray in our hearts for Miriam, remember that she is a faithful woman of God and she knows what it means to have her life changed by Jesus Christ. And so last week, we heard the good news that Jesus, he, through what's called justification, he makes us right with God. He restores that broken relationship. And so we're given what? We're given a new status where we're made right with God and he forgives us of our sins. He wipes our debt away. Our slate is clean so we can have a fresh start so we can really change. That's good news. That he also gives us a new family, a family of faith, not in our ability to follow God's laws, but in faith in God who keeps his promises, even before we know exactly what they are. That when God says something, we believe and trust him that he's done it. And he fulfilled it all in Jesus Christ for us, in his death and his resurrection. Because while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. And this proves God's love for us. The other thing that God did for us in Christ is that he gives us a new identity, that we can be transformed by God's love. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And all of this is free. No matter what you're going through right now in this moment in your life, God's love and his grace is free for you. All you have to do is RSVP and receive it. It's the party of eternity for you. The great banquet where anyone is invited, as long as they're willing to be changed and to come and invite others. Eternity is waiting for you, not just after you die, but now, even today, that you can be free, that you can be free from your sin, that you can be free from the guilt and shame of your past sins in forgiveness, but also through the Holy Spirit, through this sanctification, through being born again and being made new in God's love and mercy for you, that the things that you can't do, you can do, that Christ will do through you. Paul writes in Philippians 4:13 that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Let's say that together. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That God can help us to truly change. That God can change our hearts to where we don't feel trapped anymore. That because God has said yes to you and I through Jesus' love for us and what he's done for us, that we couldn't do for ourselves, all we need to do is trust him. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that he was raised from the dead from the cross and that he was resurrected for you, that he lives for you, that you'll be saved. The Bible says that all who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved and that salvation comes through no one else but Jesus. It sounds like I say the same thing and again and again and again each Sunday. But that's the truth. That's the good news. The good news isn't just a story. The good news isn't just something in the Bible. The good news isn't just a belief that you have to have the right answers to the test for. The good news is that God loves you. And that all you have to do is receive the love of God in Jesus. Ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior and trust him to change your life through his Holy Spirit. To trust him. And to walk in that relationship with him. Even if it seems scary, he's with you. You don't have to get yourself cleaned up. He's going to clean you up for the rest of your life. And he knows we make mistakes, but he's right there. The thing that changes in us because of the Holy Spirit is that when we sin now, it's not, we don't just beat ourselves up about it. When we sin, we realize the effect that that has, that we see a difference between when we sin and when we're not sinning in our relationship with God and our relationship with others. Sin's not just about us anymore. We see how sin hurts our relationships with others. And we realize that when we love one another and we love God and we put others' needs before our own, that we're truly living and we're not afraid of dying. And we're not afraid of what people think of us because we know that God loves us and that nothing we can do can add to or take away from that. Amen? Do you believe that God loves you? Do you really believe that? Not just in your head, but in your heart. Do you know that God loves you? He has a plan for your life. He wants to do wonderful things through you. He's given you these great hopes and dreams that you can be more than what you are now. And that he also lets us know that we're created for a relationship. We're not meant to be solo soldiers or people pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. We're not meant to be solo heroes in this life. That we need one another. I know that I need one, that I need you guys. Just earlier, I didn't know what to do. And so I had to ask for help. And I know that even if I stumble my words or no one remembers the thing I preached today, I know that God loves me and God loves you. And so that's the drum I just continue to beat. And that's the drum that we can beat in our lives. It's through the way that we live. We can show people that God loves them. How many of you have had a time in your life where you feel like you just wanted to give up? I still experience those times. But there's something about God's love. There's something that Jesus has done to where I can't shake it. Even if it doesn't make sense to me. Even if I begin to doubt. And I doubt. God still has faith in me and faith in you. That he's figured us out and he loves us. And so he loves us even when he knows we're going to sin and make mistakes. But the good news today is that Jesus can make you holy. That Jesus can shut the door on your past to where you can walk free in the future. And instead of being like a pig that goes back to its vomit, when we go back to our old ways and our sinful selfishness, we can walk forward and trust that, no, Jesus has paid for this. And I don't have to go back to that way of life anymore. You have a choice. You've been set free. You have a choice. You can choose to love. You can choose to forgive. You can choose to be set free. The old way of life that we had, it just led to alienation and hurt and disappointment and suffering. And that we would try to constantly try to save ourselves and get further and further into that hole. But Jesus doesn't just stand above the hole and throw us a rope to get us out. Jesus is in the hole with us. He's been there the whole time. That God is always with us. And he loves you. And so, I just want you to know today that Jesus breaks the power of sin in our lives through his forgiveness, but also through his Holy Spirit. That his love in you and I, it changes us. We're not the same. Tyler is no longer the same man, are you, Tyler? And every day is a new experience. That we can truly live eternal life, not just in the future, not just after we die, but here and now, we can truly live an abundant life. That life is not a rat race for us Christians. That life is an opportunity to be loved and to love others, being secure that God loves us. And at the end of the day, I can go to sleep knowing that all my failures, all my sins, all my mistakes have been paid for, and that God's preparing this next day for me. And even right now, he's with me. And nothing I could do could ever stop him from loving me. And it's the same for you. See, Jesus breaks the power of sin in our lives by forgiving our guilt and shame and blame from our past sins and setting us free from the power now. So when we're tempted, we can always cry out to Jesus, and Jesus can be our way out. That we can say no to sin and yes to God because Jesus has said yes to you and I. And here's the good news, that now we're not slaves to sin. We're not slaves to our selfish inclinations. We're not slaves to the things that people in our past have done, even if their consequences continue to haunt us. We know that our future is secure and our present is being transformed because of Jesus. If that's good news for you, will you say amen? Amen. That we can live in freedom in God's grace. That those whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Will you pray with me? God, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your grace, your gift of life, and your love and acceptance, and the joy that you have for us. Thank you that you know that we're a work in progress, but you're the master craftsman, God, and you're going to finish your work of creation in us, that you will see it through. Thank you for faith today that you give us, that we learn through God's word, that we learn through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, that we learn through the testimony of people like Tyler and Miriam in our lives, God. Thank you that we can't escape your grace. We can say no to it, but you always say yes to us. So I pray, God, that you will help us right now, that we will know that now is the acceptable time of salvation, that now is the best time, the right time, the time where eternity breaks into our present, where we can continue, whether it's for the first time or it's for another time and another time in our life. But we say yes to you, Jesus. Jesus, we believe that you died for our sins on the cross. That Jesus, we believe that you were raised from the dead so that we could have life with you and be set free from our sins and from the death that is a final death. But no, we will be resurrected with you. Because when we're baptized in Jesus, we've died to sin and our old way of life. And we're brought back up in Christ out of that water into living water so that Jesus will satisfy all of our thirsts in our life. Jesus, thank you for saving us. By your Spirit, pour your love into our hearts and make us overflowing with your love. That we know without a shadow of a doubt that you love us and that you hold us. God, we pray for Miriam right now and for the doctors and the EMTs and for her family. We pray for your grace and your mercy and your healing. We pray for a miracle in Jesus' name, that the power of the resurrection will be at work within her. And we pray also, God, for this meal that we're about to have for our community or for our mission meal today, that we would share the love and joy of Jesus. So thank you, Jesus, for saving us, for loving us and forgiving us, for setting us free from the power of sin, not only in the past, but in the present. And now that we have this glorious freedom to walk in, knowing that God loves us no matter what, no matter where we've been, no matter who we are, God loves us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Feel a change in your life right now. I would love to talk to you. If you said yes for the first time to Jesus today and you meant it and it's real for you, or you're saying yes again after being away from him for a long time, I would love to talk to you and pray with you either after church or sometime this week and to help you walk in that freedom with Jesus. So let's stand and we're going to sing our closing hymn. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.